lost in love.
Nothing but love, cause girl, I'ma hold you down.
Ma, it's no problem to hold you, tongue stroke you, please you like I'm supposed to. Touch spots that ain't ever been touched, and I won't stop till both these squirrels get they nuts. Hey, you know it's good when we freakin', king size squeakin', after I ease in. If you was with me, baby, 24/7, best believe that every single day would be a sweet day. Curry sweeter than a cheesecake. If you want beef, prophecy would be a beefcake. I make love to you till you fall asleep, leave you with sweet dreams between the sheets.
Lady, I want you. Every time I see you, I just wanna kiss you and hold you.
What's good, everybody? It's been Big Don coming live and actually another True Players podcast episode on January 8th. And I want to wish everybody, before we start with the podcast, I want to wish everybody a happy new year. My new year did not start off with to the greatest start. But you know, we'll get through it and finish off strong for the end of the year. But right now, I just want to talk about Power Book 2, Season 2. Hopefully Joey G will join us on the podcast as far as that goes. But if not, we're gonna push on. So I want to speak about the Season 2. What a great series Power Book Season 2 has become, and how Tariq, at the end of the original Power series, left as the ultimate villain, the most hated man in Power Universe, is now becoming the sympathetic figure through Power Book 2. I kind of regret not doing a recap of the first season of Book 2, but we're gonna follow up. I'm gonna talk to you guys about that a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So It's a great series, and you notice that each season of Power Book 2 is like leading up to the spinoffs of both Tommy's spinoff and also Tate's spinoff. Season 1 was about Tommy's spinoff on Power Book Force, and this season, what it's turned out to be, is turning out to be the setup for Influence, Lorenz Tate spinoff, or was it Lamar Tate? His name is in the series. So, yeah, I love the show. I like the writing. I can't even knock it. I can't knock anything right now. But in season two, it started off as Kane is meeting up with this guy who he thinks is a cop, along with Little Guap and all that stuff, testing him and all that stuff. But all we do know is we have been introduced to a new antagonist of Season 2, Book 2, which is Mecca. And what's this guy's story over the first five episodes is building up to something that's going to be real special in the second half of the Season 2. I like how they break it. I kind of was like, the way it left Season 5, the last episode 5 in Season 2, I was like, damn, I couldn't wait. I can't wait for Episode 6. A lot of things has happened over the past five episodes. Jabari Reynolds' murder investigation, how Kerry Milgram, Kerry Milgram is such a great eye candy to look at. I can't stop looking at her, but that's besides the point. Kerry Milgram is a suspect, and Zeke's a suspect. Let me tell you something. Zeke is such a goofball. He has no clue what's going on. No clue what's going on. And the fact that they believe that this guy was a suspect in the murder of a professor is mind-boggling, because he's such a goofball. Seriously. Such a legitimate goofball. But nevertheless, you know, Detective Whitman, you know, is the new detective. You know, he got, apparently there's some backstory between him and Kerry Milgram. They had a relationship together, and I'm starting to get the feeling a lot of people had relationships with Kerry Milgram, whether it was Professor Reynolds, this detective Whitman, Zeke, and you never know that Davis McClain could have had a relationship with Professor Milgram too. And you know, Lorenz, you know, Lamar's trying to get into them pants too. And she had good, nice looking eye candy there. But she has shown in this series, in this season, that she could be downright conniving, vindictive woman. And the reason why I say that is to get the heat off of her, she had Tariq Shorty Lauren, which he finally hit in this season, you know what I'm saying, set him up to be arrested by using Braden as the so-called target. And she, and I'm about to give Professor Wiggum some credit. She did play it perfectly. This game of power. My fast. My camera is falling down on me. Technical difficulties, but we straightened that out. And we do see some similarities here. And it's like the poor man's version of Game of Thrones, if you ask me. As far as it goes, and I'm gonna explain why in a few minutes, but I'm not gonna explain it just a second, because everybody's trying to get their way, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's Diana, Kane, Monet, Tariq, Effie, Braden, everybody's trying to get the top spot in different ways, and indirectly get the top spot indirectly. Case in point, let's start with Kane. Kane is so dead set. For his first step, was trying to get back into the family. At the end of the season, he was kicked out of the family, right? And then Braden and Tariq's about to make a drop for Effie. Gave Effie some stuff. And Effie sold her product. And the person, she gets to a big fight with the girl that she sold the product to, saying it was sugar. Lo and behold, later in the episode, it was found out that Kane had switched the product with sugar. Just to get back to the family. Only to be discovered later on by Diana that he switched the product. He wanted to get himself back into the family. And Lorenzo, while in prison, co-signed on him being back in the family, not knowing what's going on the outside. Kane is being played by Becca, the new antagonist in the series. And where did Becca come from? You know what I'm saying? In the series, you notice that he's a former military guy. A lot of his people around him are either serving the military with him or good friends. This guy, the way Becca moves, for me, he moves just like Ghost. He's always two steps ahead of his enemies, and he's trying to teach Kane how to be more of a thinker instead of just an enforcer. And you see Kane trying to mature into that leader type of person that he could run the business, but he still has his soldier, bulldog, enforcer mentality, which is eventually going to catch up with him later on. Once Tariq figures out what he needs to figure out to get himself out of the gen that he's in right now, being locked up. Let's talk about Braden, the thrill for excitement. Always needs to prove that he's about the streets and things like that. Tariq tells him, "No, we're not going to do the streets." And he comes up with his fabulous plan to move the product while course correct is down. And it's a beautiful concept. Only Braden came up with, and Tariq agreed with it. And a lot of similarities to Ghost and Tommy and Tariq and Braden. They had a little handshake going on, all that good stuff. But the difference between Tommy and Braden, Braden's a little bit smarter. He came from a better background than Tommy did. Tommy came from a broke background, came from a single mother home, whereas Braden came in with a rich family. Have both his parents raising him, and slightly different. He's looking for excitement. He's looking to get his own shit. He's looking to make his own money instead of living off the Western name. So we'll see but he messed up big time by not being open with Tariq in regards to Kane and stuff like that. But we'll get back more to that later. Diana's trying to learn the ropes, and she's learning it from Effie. But I was kind of worried that Effie was going to turn around. But we'll see. We sure don't know what's going to happen in regards to that. But I want to know more about Effie's story, and hopefully the second half will get into that more with Effie. But she was looking good in that little dress they went to go boost some clothing at, though. Her and Diana was like a tag team. I was like, wow, bombshells right there. So Effie got her own shit going on, and you got to appreciate that as well. Now, let's stick to one subject I want to speak about, too. We'll speak about is Zeke. Yes, he's a goofball. He has no clue what's going on. He's just a young boy. He's a young boy in a get caught up in the game. He's been used as a pawn. So he did the interview with Jemele Hill. They prepped him. Tariq prepped him. And he lost his emotion. He got emotional and made himself a suspect when he was never even a suspect. If he just played his cards right, he would never have been a suspect. But he got caught up in that, but he got out of it. You know, but another thing I'm going to speak on too before I forget, because I'm a little bit disjointed, you know, so I didn't really write down my outline. Usually I write down my outline for my podcast, which I didn't do, but nevertheless, I promised you guys I was going to bring this episode, I was going to bring it to you no matter what. Lorenz Tate, because of Stern, is working at Stansfield as an adjunct professor. And Lamar Tate got his agenda. He wants that congressional seat, and he wants to go after he wants to use Tariq to get information on the congressman that he would like congressman that he wants to take his seat. This is the dilemma with Lamar Tate. He got to get Tariq out of jail. He's going to find a way to get Tariq out of jail. Simon Stern is going to find a way to get Tariq out of jail. Lauren is going to find a way to get Tariq out of jail. Braden is going to find a way to get Tariq out of jail. Tariq has a lot of backers. But those very same backers are the reason why he's in prison right now. And Tariq, throughout the season, is distracted. He's distracted because of the death of Professor Reynolds, and Kane keeps on sweating him to make sure this doesn't come back to them. Two, the custody battle for Yaz, because his grandmother, Mama Green, has a drinking problem, and she can't, you know, be sober enough to raise a young child. And Tariq has to come up with a plan to get an apartment and things like that. But as we see in the first season and a half of Book Power 2, we know Tariq walking around. Always, it's kind of strange. How the hell are you a drug dealer? And you all you do is walk around to your destination. You don't have a ride. No one's giving you a ride. And only up until episode 5 of season 2, he finally gets a vehicle. this guy doesn't even have a license. Yeah, he hasn't driven, never driven a car. And all of a sudden, episode five of season two, he's driving his girl's car. Amazing. Hollywood, I tell you. he got the vehicle to follow Kane to his connect, because Tariq promised Monet that he would find the information to find out who his connect was. But Monet doesn't know that it's a long lost love, Mecca, although she knows him as Dante. So it's a lot of things going on here. And then the shock of Monet seeing Lorenzo being freed from prison. She kills a construction guy that was fixing a club because she thought he stole the money. He stole the money, stole the $1 million from the bar when it was really her daughter that took that shit to free Lorenzo. So I'm kind of anxious to see the clashes that's going to happen. What's Lorenzo's role going to be in the second half of season two? He damn sure's going to take back control of the family. I believe it's going to be a clash between him and Monet. So we'll see what happens as far as that that front goes. Drew, keep an eye on him. His character arc, you know, he got shot last episode of season one. He can't draw. Usually, he's trying to draw. He can't move his right arm. You saw Zeke trying to help him with the basketball. You saw Kane trying to help him with the gun, shoot a gun, but he only can shoot with the left hand, and he's missing. You know what I'm saying? So Drew is going to be in for something this half season. I have a prediction on him. He's going to turn straight evil. He's going to be the right-hand man that is necessary to lead the Tejada family after Lorenzo goes about his way. And I believe that I believe that Ev is going to be killed the second half of the season. I believe that's going to happen. The dynamic between Monet and Professor Wilgram, she threatened her, stay away from Zeke, and that's why she turned around trying to get flippant on Tariq for the murder for Jabari Reynolds, Professor Reynolds, and. Now let me backtrack, because this is how this all set up. Last season, when Jabari gets shot, Kane shoots him first. Tariq finishes him off, right, using Ramirez's gun. Now Ramirez was killed by Kane, as you guys remember. So now, what happened is that. You say Ramirez kills Professor Reynolds, but he's already been dead. Kane throws his body in the ditch, or whatever, in which later on he has Brayden, who always wants to be down with the team to help Kane dig the body out. Kane gets the badge and plants it in Tariq's room. When Lamar's brother, who was put on the task force for the investigation, S stands for the drug dealing and the death of Professor Reynolds, discovers it in Tariq's room. This is where Brayden's screw-up happened. It was because when Tariq asked him, did Kane come looking for him? He wasn't honest with Tariq. So if it was honest with Tariq, Tariq definitely would have known how to handle the situation. But then again, Tariq, like I said earlier, Tariq was distracted because, one, he was trying to help keep Zeke out of prison, because Zeke is his ticket to get everything that was promised to him in Ghost's will. Okay? Two, the custody battle for Yaz. Yaz wants to be with Tariq. Yaz does not want to be with her mother, with her grandmother. And Tariq is extremely distracted. But one dumb move by Zeke was giving Ramirez his PBA card and lying about it. I don't say he was trying to protect Professor Milgram, but Professor Milgram was not trying to protect him. I don't believe so. She was out for self. And the Professor Milgram, like I said, she's a hell of an eye candy to look at, but she's turned out to be a nothing but a community pussy. But that is what's going on here. And second, Diana's role is progressing into the series as well. I'm looking forward to seeing how she moves in the second half. We've seen clips, but I want to see fully what's going on in the second half as far as her goes. And is Effie going to have a bigger role in the second half of the season? Are we going to get into more of the David McClane and Theo Rollins story in the second half as well? And don't discount anything. David McClane did offer to represent Professor Milgram when she was a suspect for the murder of Jabari. So I want to see that, how they know each other. I want to know the story behind that as well. And the story between him and Theo Rollins, apparently they turn out they're brothers. What happened that caused Theo to end up in prison? That's what I'm trying to. That's what I would like to know. Well, and how is Lauren going? How is Tyrique going to handle the situation with one, Brayden, two, with Lauren, because they both set him up, or help him getting arrested. Both of them are knowing what was going on. Brayden, he didn't tell Tyrique the truth. Lauren was just gullible, believing what Professor Brogan was telling her. Oh, we're after Brayden. And things like that. It's one of the laws of power is that's she pulled on a naive young girl. So you know, I'm telling you, what Professor Milgram did to Tyrique, she gonna get popped. As much as I don't want that to happen, but she's gonna get popped. She's gonna be one of the deaths in the second half of the season. And Mecca using the Can't Stand the Rain New Edition song as a code to let Monet know that he's here. No one knew her as Nene Stewart, as you guys know. So let's see what's gonna happen. I'm kinda excited to see what's gonna happen with that. So give me one second because I'm gonna make sure Joey G could join us on the podcast to give us his thoughts. Give me one second, guys. So, yeah. So what else could happen in the series? I want to know more about Chef. I want to know more about Chef. What's his role in this? Yes, he's the looks like the enforcer for Mecca, but I want to know more of his story. He killed Nuff. You know what is funny, because this is where, you know, you get caught up watching other few people's YouTube channels and things like that, and they mention that if Mecca is Ghost's brother or is some wildness. But my thing is, if that is the case, do you guys believe that's the reason why Nuff got killed when he beat up Tyrique outside the door? Because Mecca knew who it was outside the door. Mecca knew exactly who it was because he was spying on Tyrique. He's the one that told Kane that Brayden was Tariq's weak spot. Monet's also distracted as well. Because when they mentioned to her that the product was switched with sugar, she didn't really say nothing. And that's not Monet from the first season. Monet's much more aggressive. She's like, who the fuck did that shit? Gung-ho and try to solve the problem. And she showed herself to be something like Kane as well. She showed herself to be just like Kane, impulsive. And she knew that guy, that Chris Rush guy did not take that money out that safe. No damn well he didn't take that money out that safe, but she was like, she was all about saving Zeke. She wanted to give that money to McClain to protect Zeke. And you saw the dynamic between her and Lorenzo. When it came to Zeke, he wasn't about to put up the house for his defense. He said, however, if it was his kids, he would. But that was, he said, her nephew, that is her problem. In all honesty, ladies and gentlemen, that is not her nephew. That is her child with Mecca. Mecca put up the money for McClain to get him out, to have McClain represent him. The interview with Jemele Hill, I felt they didn't prep him properly. So they didn't prep him properly, but he got out of it. But I want to know the dynamic between Zeke and Tariq. When Zeke sees Tariq getting taken out of campus in cuffs, he gave Tariq this dirty ass look. I want to see what their relationship is after that. Zeke, the goofball he is, probably think Tariq set him up. Oh, I ain't gonna deal with him. You know what I'm saying? Monet's plan was to get Zeke into the NBA so they could create the exit strategy out of the drug game. Another dynamic. So we'll see. Joey G should be joining us in a few seconds. So hopefully he'll join us. But things to look for in the second half. Mecca's how is the war? War is gonna start between Mecca and Lorenzo. Kane is gonna be a pawn in the game. Monet's losing power. And Tariq broke it down to her. She tried to get the thing I love about Monet underestimates Tariq. Tariq learned the game from the master, his pops, the real ghost. This guy knows how to get control. He knows how to get power. Tariq is always in control. This, no matter how distracted he was, he always had the power. He always was on point. You're a smart dude. You can't outfox a smart dude. The only way you can beat a smart dude is to distract him, to provide distractions. So Tariq blew up the spot on Diana, he blew up the spot on Drew, he blew up the spot on Kane. He got his power back when she tried to hold him up to getting custody of Yaz. In which he lost it because, you know, he got arrested. And Lauren's playing the Angela role. And Diana, let me ask you guys a question. Who do you guys think is playing Natasha role? Is it Diana or Effie? That's a question to ask you guys. Ask yourself that question, guys, about that. Which role? Who's playing Natasha role for Tariq? Is it Effie or Diana? I would give you my answer, but I can't call it. I think they both play Natasha role. The both of them combined is Tasha, I believe. So that is an interesting scenario. But I think, like I said, I think it's gonna be a big war between Mecca and Lorenzo. I believe there's gonna be more deaths. I think Ev is definitely going to die because he didn't ran his mouth too much. I think Professor Milgram, as much as I don't want it to happen, she's going to be killed too. She's going to be killed. And Drew's evolution, Diana's evolution, that's something to look forward to. How is the relationship between Braden and Tariq going to happen after Tariq gets the full truth from Braden? Because Braden did set that up for Tariq to get arrested. He allowed Kane into the room. He helped Kane dig out Ramirez's body. He let Kane in the room, puts Ramirez's badge in the drawer. You know what I'm saying? Professor Milgram also was a part of that arrest, Tariq's arrest as well. So, because she read Jabari's book, she knew the book was about Tariq. 1 + 1 = 2. She knew the book was about Tariq. She knew Tariq was a drug dealer. Okay, I'm going to pin this murder on Tariq. even though he did finish off Professor Reynolds, but it was him and Kane that did that. It was Tariq solo, but Tariq will get himself out of the situation. And who's going to take the fall for Jabari's murder? And Jabari's murder and Ramirez's murder. If you ask me, it's going to be Ramirez. If you ask me, it's going to be Kane. Kane's going to switch places with his pops in that jail cell. And no one's going to help him out. He's going to be in there for a while, ladies and gentlemen. Now, where is 2-Bit? I've been waiting for him to come back into the series. Where is 2-Bit? I'm going to have my prediction here. He's going to be in the second half of the season again. His role is going to definitely set up his... is going to lead. It's going to be the lead into him joining Tommy in Chicago in Power Book Force, in my opinion. I'm also looking at the some spoilers here. I'm not going to spoil it for you guys. I'm sure you guys have seen many spoilers. You've seen the preview for the next episode. But there's a few characters from the original Power series I believe is going to be in the second half of the season. What role do they play? I don't know. But I'm looking forward to seeing that. And the correlation between that and Game of Thrones. Everybody wants the top seat. You know what I'm saying? Everyone. Especially Kane. Kane wants to be the guy that's going to be the future of the Tyler family. But you cannot... His impulsive nature does not allow him to be a leader. He doesn't follow properly. I mean, I'm gonna go back to a Game of Thrones analogy. Remember when Jorah Mormont told John, if you want to lead someday, if you want to lead, you gotta learn how to follow. And this has been Kane's problem. He doesn't know how to follow. He's too quick triggered. He doesn't think. Him being around Mecca is opening his mind to be more of a thinker. But at heart, he still will always be a soldier. He will always be an enforcer because of his mentality. In order to be a leader, you must elevate yourself from that enforcer or soldier mentality and to become a leader or to become a king. To become a king, you have to be able to think. Think logically, make strategic decisions, and cover all your bases. This is where Kane fails in that, because him planting the badge on Tariq. Tariq's gonna know it's him that set him up. But one question for you guys, though. Another question for you guys. Wouldn't it have been so sweet if you heard Ghost's voice when that letter to him was being read? Wouldn't that set that shit off the right way instead of hearing Tariq's voice doing it? That's the only thing I was disappointed about the last episode. The only thing I was disappointed was that it wasn't Ghost's voice. It was Tariq's voice to read that letter. So... what do you guys think? What do you guys think is going to happen on season number on book two, the second half of the season two? I'm excited, guys. It's coming out tonight. If you guys, you know, do what you do and you have the app, you can see it after midnight. But if you want to wait till Sunday at 8, go right ahead. I'm not mad at you. Go right ahead. But don't spoil. If you watch it after midnight, don't spoil for anybody else. You know what I'm saying? So I'm about to end this podcast right now. Wish my boy Joey G was here to help me with the recap and stuff like that, because he had a lot of insight to add to it. But we're gonna end the podcast now. But before I end the podcast, I want to speak to you guys about 2022, the new year, and what it means to everybody, what it means to me personally and professionally and business wise. You have to understand, people have to make decisions in 2022. There's no such thing as carrying people on your back. It's all about putting yourself, align yourself with the right people to elevate yourself to reach to your pinnacle. And if your pinnacle is the sky, remember the sky is limitless. So you got to make sure you have that mentality to not set limits on yourself. Achieve as much as you can while you still live on the earth, because tomorrow is never promised. You know what I'm saying? Achieve it, fight for it, live for it. You know what I'm saying? Go get it. You know what I'm saying? You sometimes you have to cut out to 2022, especially with this pandemic that's going on. Going on year two of it. You know what I'm saying? You got to make the best decision for yourself. And that's the advice I can give to everybody. If you have a family member who's constantly not with the program, you're trying to give them advice on how to better their life, you know what I'm saying? You got to leave them behind. Don't be afraid to leave anybody behind, because your success is your success. Your success does not belong to anybody else. If their feelings are hurt, their feelings are hurt. Oh, well, my train is moving this way. Your train is moving that way. You're standing still. No. Your train got to be moving in a positive direction. Align yourself with people who wants to get on that train and move in a positive direction. You can't be a grown-ass adult in your late 30s, your early 40s, still ask people for money. You cannot do that. Swallow your ego. Make a sacrifice to put yourself in position. No one's telling you to give up your dream, but you need to have you still need to have some money in your pocket to have your dream. If someone is keep giving you money, or keep helping you out in certain situations, you don't own your dream. You don't own your dream. That person who's helping you owns your dream. And that's the advice. That's the best advice I can give you, because this is how my father told me. He said, "If I'm keep doing shit for you, I'm in control. I own you. What I want you to do is get your own shit so you could be in control of your own shit. When you wake up in the morning and say, 'Yes, I did it.'" You know what I'm saying? That's the biggest accomplishment one could ever have in their life, is when you know you achieve something on your own. But don't stop there. Keep going. Like I said, my new year didn't start right. You know, I had to quarantine because I was, you know, I had household members who had COVID, and I was in contact with them. So, supposed to be in Orlando, but I had to quarantine. You know, not too happy about that. But it also opened my mind what I need to do to not be in that same situation next year. Part of it is your health. Make sure you're healthy. Part of it is to follow my own personal goals. I'm not gonna share that with you guys on the podcast. But I got goals. I got goals, and I have to achieve those goals. But once I achieve that, the one goal I need to achieve to take my podcast to the next level, take my business to the next level, then we're gonna be flying. It'll be like a Concorde plane. We'll be flying. But then again, I have to achieve that goal. It's going to be a lot of hard work. It's going to be a lot of sacrifice. It's going to be a lot of sleepless nights for me to achieve this. Because shit got to change. For me, shit got to change. Peace of mind is a beautiful thing. When you have peace of mind, you could plan better, you could execute better, you could live better. That's what I need. That's what I'm working. That's what I'm striving for, is peace of mind. So on that note, guys, I'm going to set off on this podcast. It's been fun talking to you guys. I'm going to have another podcast on Sunday. So stay tuned for that. I must talk about the Knicks and the disgusting display of Julius Randle towards the fans. I got a lot to talk about that. I think he just traded himself out of New York because of that. But that'll be for the next episode. But it's your man Big Dom. I'm gonna sign off on this podcast. Holla at y'all the next episode. Peace. ¶¶